Shya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So we're continuing with the Mana Shiksha, and now we're going to read verse 8. And remember, we use the Jagannatha Ashtaka melody. Yatha dushtatvam me pratayavat davayati shattasyapi kripaya yatha mayam premamitam api dadachyu jvalam aso yatha shri gandharva bhajana vitaye prerayati mahum Tata goste katpa giri daram miha tvam bhajamana. Okay. Translation is, even though I'm a cheater, the Lord's mercy can drive away my inherent wicked nature. Give me the glowing nectar of divine love and inspire my heart with the process to worship Sri Gandharvika. Therefore, O mind, with pleading words you should worship Shri Giridhari here in Vrindavan. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhajana Dharpana commentary. With the association of sadhus and the gradual transfusion of spiritual energy, wickedness in the heart of a devotee disappears and all success is achieved. But such association of sages cannot be obtained so easily. Therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami gives us the instruction in this verse. So now we're going to talk about the shlokarthas, or the meaning of different shlokas or parts of the verse. One, kopla, the helpless, destitute practitioner's expression that is a humble plea. Devotion that is free of deception is always combined with the attitude that I am extremely destitute and wretched. Destitute means I have no good qualities. It has nothing to do with money in this case. And wretched, just horrible. Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Gandharva, Samprartana Ashtakam, Stavamala, expresses such feelings. You are roaming freely in this pleasure grove in Sri Vrindavana, enjoying love like the greatest of intoxicated elephants. O Devi, Radharani, please show me your face and the face of your beloved and kindly bestow your mercy on me. Number two. O Devi, falling on the ground like a rod, I am an extremely distressed soul, beg you in a stuttering voice filled with a piteous mood. Having bestowed your mercy on this unintelligent soul, O Gandharvika, please count me as one of your near and dear ones. O Devi, falling on the ground like a rod, I, an extremely distressed soul, beg you to please count me as one of your near and dear ones. Oh, that's one of the captions. Three. O Shama, Radharani, Shama's, Krishna's beauty surpasses the beauty of Lord Narayan and enchants the entire world. When will I be able to worship you in a form embraced by the left arm of Shama? Indeed, Lakshmi Devi rarely sees this form. Four. O Devi, when will I dress you in a cloud-colored sari, remove your ankle bells, and help you excitedly attain the forest grove where the son of Nanda resides at night waiting for you? Five. The lotus feet of the two of you are resting in the forest grove on a bed that is ornamented with hosts of flowers. Those feet have enjoyed delightful love sports and are the ornaments of the entire world. O Devi, when will this servant of yours be able to massage those feet? Six. You two are seated under the tree in the banks of the Kunda, the lake named Radhakunda. O Vrindavaneshri, when will I use a yak-tail whisk to fan both of your faces, which are kissed by moistening perspiration formed due to the effort of lovemaking? Seven. O splendid eye of beauty, when you who are hiding in a secret spot in the forest grove will be discovered by Mukunda, you'll then accuse me by saying, you told him where I'm hiding. At that time, I will stay in front of Krishna. It was not me, but Chitra Sakhi who told you, him about you? Kindly do not be falsely angry with me like this. When will that day come? 8. When you, having defeated the son of Raja Raj in a playful war of words, will express pride by speaking even more clever words to celebrate your victory, your jubilant friends, Sakis, will shout out heaps of praiseful words such as Jaya Radhe. When will I witness this occasion? 9. The surrendered soul, according to Rupa Goswami, this is we're going to translate, Shatata me dushtatvam. Cheating and deception are my weakness, wickedness. Deceit or pretense is the wickedness of the conditioned soul. Whereas a pure soul, by nature simple and thoroughly honest, is by nature simple and thoroughly honest. When souls take shelter of ignorance and illusion, they at once become deceitful, falsely proud, and obsessed with a desire for honor, worship, adoration, and prestige. They become hypocritical and consumed by dishonest activities. Such souls seek distance from everything related to the Lord. When those unfortunate conditioned souls realize their true position as servants of the Lord, they feel more humble than the straw in the street and gain the intelligence to respect others according to their respective positions. If they also take complete shelter of the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they receive the mercy of Sri Krishna and his beloved devotees. Then, Ujvala Premamrita, the supreme radiant nectar of love for Krishna. Here, Ujvala refers to Shingara Ras, which is also known as Madhurya Ras, the transcendental emotion of amorous love of God. Srila Rupa Goswami describes this as follows. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the king among all rasas, Madhurya, was described only briefly due to its confidentiality. Now here, in the Ujjala Nilamani, I am separately elaborating on it. When Madhura Rati becomes tasty with the presence of Vibhav, Anubhav, Satvika Bhav, and Sanchari Bhav, the experts call it Madhura Bhakti Ras. That's from the Ujjala Nilamani, Nayaka Veda, Prakarana 1, 2, 3. Srila Rupa Goswami describes in the Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that pure devotional service is cultivated in 5 different transcendental types of attachment, namely Shanta, neutrality, Dasha, servitorship, Sakya, friendship, Vatsalya, parenthood, and Madhurya, amorous love. These 5 primary relationships are also known as continual loving attraction, Stai Bhava. The support in Madhurya Ras is Krishna and his pleasure potency, and their qualities are the stimulants. During their amorous pastimes, the gopis, including Srimati Radharani and even Krishna himself, display the 8 symptoms of love, that's the Sattvika Bhavas, and the 33 emotional waves, Vyabhichari Bhava. These bhavas rise up like tides, causing the ocean of Bhakti Rasa to swell. When devotional service and practice is transformed into devotional service in ecstasy, one develops steady attraction, Stai Bhava. That steady attractive attachment combined with Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, and Vyabhichari Bhava attains the state of Rasa. I'll explain all those terms a little later. This state signifies the visible appearance of pure love, prema, and is known as Bhakti Rasa. Sri Krishna's Braja Leela and the Leela that he enacted with his dear gopis all over Braj Mandal are the best examples of this rasa. Those who are fortunate and awaken a strong greed to obtain this transcendental amorous rasa should follow in the wake of the gopis. They should pray continually with intense longing and anguish and with voices choked with emotion. In such a state of intense prayer, the sadhaka obtains Srimati Radharani's mercy. The rays of Lajini Shakti, the internal pleasure potency of the Lord, enter into such a practitioner's heart, thus making this transcendental relationship with Krishna. And so next words that we're hearing translated, Sri Gandharva Bhajana, worship of Sri Gandharvika. The infinitesimal living being in its limited capacity to experience bliss, may sometimes experience Brahmananda, the bliss of realizing Brahman, or Atmananda, the bliss of knowing oneself to be a spiritual soul. However, without the mercy of the internal pleasure potency, the Ladini Shakti, one can never experience the transcendental ecstasy of Karmananda, the supreme bliss of loving service. One gets that mercy when, after hearing about the eternal loving emotions of the eternal residents of Brajadham, a greed may awaken in the heart of the practitioner to achieve that very same devotional sentiment. In this way, the sincerity to beg and pray for that sentiment will begin. Once the sincere desire has awakened, the devotee should take shelter of and serve one of Srimati Radharani's girlfriends, Sakis or Manjaris. Only by the mercy of the Sakis can one be eligible to serve the divine couple. By getting the mercy of a Saki, one will gradually obtain the mercy of Srimati Radharani. With the increase of such mercy, Ladini Shakti proportionally manifests in the heart, which makes the spiritual bliss of service to the divine couple eternally available to the soul. As long as a practitioner maintains mental masculinity, he remains ineligible to serve in this way. There is no connection of one's worldly male and female body to this mood and service. In its original form, the jiva has a spiritually feminine nature. If a person superimposes concepts of material gender, everything is destroyed. So that's the end of the commentary. So with the last part of the commentary, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is taking on these sages who think that by dressing or thinking of yourself to be female in a material way, you'll be Krishna conscious. And that doesn't work like that. One gets putrefied instead of purified. And then the first part, Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about the different bhavas, and I said I would explain that. So bhava, of course, means emotion. In the material world, we're subject to something called bhava rog, which means diseased emotion.
Yeah.
But in the spiritual world, we have these different, let's say, constituent parts of our emotional state. The first one is called a vibhava. Vibhava means that which stimulates the other emotions. And there's two types of vibhavas, just to real quickly touch upon it. Alambana Nudipana. One means directly Krishna, and the second one is things related to Krishna. In other words, if one directly sees Krishna, that stimulates your emotional state. And if one sees, let's say, a peacock feather, like Mukunda the physician in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, or a peacock fan being that was used to fan the Muslim king or the Nawab, and he fell to the ground because that stimulated his other emotions. Okay. Then what happens is after you have this stimulation, there's something called the anubhava, means the emotions that follow. And these are things like, you know, jumping up in the air in ecstasy and rolling on the ground and tears pouring from the eyes and things like that. So, or drooling at the mouth. Generally, these anubhavas are taken to be voluntary. In other words, one can choose to exhibit them or not to exhibit them. In other words, you're not forced. If you feel it coming, you can just hold it back. And then after the anubhavas, there's the astasattvika bhavas, which basically are described by the acharyas as the, you know, the spiritual mode of goodness, manifestation of the spiritual mode of goodness in there. There are different manifestations, such as you got the hair standing on it and things like that. And then after that, you have the sanchari bhavas, or sometimes the word uses vyabhachari bhavas, which is the same thing, sanchari. There's 33. Astasattvika bhavas, obviously, is 8 of those. And the sanchari bhavas, there's 33 of those, and those are intermittent. The sattvika bhavas are always there, to some degree or other. But the sanchari bhavas are let us say, intermittent and uncontrollable, involuntary. In other words, let's say someone, you're Shukadeva Goswami, and someone mentions the name Radharani, and you just go unconscious for like 3 days, which is why Shukadeva Goswami did not speak the name of Radharani when he was reciting the Bhagavatam. So that's called the Sanchari or Vyabhachari Bhava. There's 33 of them. Some of them are, one of them is like basically death. You know, in other words, you're so, I'm so unconscious. And example of that is when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Lord Jagannath for the first time. Everyone thought he was dead. And then several Bhattacharya held a little piece of cotton underneath his nose, and so there's a little breath coming out. So that's one of the sanctuary of the Vyabhachari Bhavas. They're uncontrollable, they're intermittent, which means they're sometimes there, sometimes not there. So, again, the Anubhavas are like expressions, voluntary expressions, and the Sattvika Bhavas are the what is present in the soul, the emotions present in the soul there. And they can be expressed externally too. And then finally, so the Sanchari we described, the last type is called the Stai Bhava. Stai Bhava means one's steady. Stai means steady in Sanskrit. A steady, it's an expression of a particular ras. In other words, you can say your Stai Bhava is Santa Ras. You understand? Shanta, or Dasha, or Sakya, Vatsalya, or Maturya. That's your Stai Bhava. So those are the bhavas. That's a pretty easy explanation. So when you hear all these words, you know, like Vibhava and Anubhava and Stai Bhava and Asasattvika Bhava and Sanchari Bhava, now you understand. So you can remember what I just said. And all this is described by Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur in his Maturya Kadambani, and also by Bhaktivinoda Thakur too. But the Madhurya Kadambini really describes these bhavas in depth. It's actually one of the most elaborate books about developing spiritual emotions. Okay, any questions? No? Anyway, this is a very elevated subject matter. So you don't have to really worry right now about taking shelter in one of the maid servants or Srimati Bhagavan. But to understand, this is there in the future for devotees who are ready for it. When the spiritual master says, you are ready, first you got to surrender. First you got to learn Sharanagati. You know what Sharanagati means?
This is a song that
I know, but you know what it means.
Surrender.
Mami kam sharanam bhajam tvam sarvapapebhyo. Moksha is Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, give up all varieties of mental speculation about Dharma. Sarvadam Purichaja, Mamaikam. Just surrender to Krishna. Go ahead and do it. Only Krishna, Mamaikam. Sharanam Braja. Aham Dvam, I, you. Sarvapapevya will free you from all these sins. Moksha Yashama, you will become liberated. Don't worry. Masu Shaha, don't worry. It's a nice verse. Isn't it? You don't like the verse?
I'm just wondering why he's saying don't worry.
No what?
Why he's saying don't worry? Don't
worry. Krishna says don't worry.
Yeah, because Arjuna was in worry.
Yeah. Krishna's saying don't worry. I'm not saying don't worry. I'm also saying
don't worry.
But Krishna is the one who says don't worry.
So it's so simple.
Yeah. Very simple.
So why it's so difficult?
Because we don't want to surrender. We have our own ideas. We have our plans. Krishna, I have my plans for sense gratification.
Or we can think, I want to surrender, but actually you're just paying lip service. Yeah, I want to surrender, but I mean, if you want to surrender, then you already.
Then you'll do it.
You're doing it, yeah. I mean, what
would
you say?
Yeah, surrender. Like Arjuna wanted to pick his own service for Krishna.
Yeah, so he wanted to pick his own surrender.
His own path of surrender. Which wasn't the path
to
of surrender.
To the senses.
Yeah, his path, he wanted to serve Krishna in the way that he wanted to serve Krishna. It's not that he didn't want to serve Krishna, but he wanted to serve Krishna according to his way.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, let me renounce. You know, that'll be a nice spiritual path for me. But Krishna said to him, by your nature, you're going to be forced to fight anyway. So we all have our idea of how we want to serve Krishna, but then Krishna has a different idea. I mean, it's like when I was a young man, I wanted to serve Krishna by getting a PhD in the university and working with the Bhaktivedanta Institute. You heard that story, didn't you? And so then we asked Prabhupada, you know. I said, my mother was really enthusiastic to pay for it. And I could have gone to MIT or, you know, some big school because I always had good grades.
When was that?
Before you were born.
I mean...
19... What was it? When Prabhupada was there, you know, 70...
You were already how long in the moment?
72, 73, something like that.
Just begun.
No, I was already head pujari, head cook, temple president, everything.
Yeah.
I was already, you know, that's almost a guru.
That's how it went.
I think sannyas, when I was in the movement, just like, you know, 6 years basically, you know, 2071, you know, 7 years. 7 years in the movement. How many years have you been in the movement?
A few.
A lot more than that, right?
Yeah.
Took 7 years,
took
and I took sannyas.
That was a trend.
What?
It was a trend before.
No, not everybody did it. But took sannyas at 7 years.
Please don't think I want to minimize, but it was different times.
Yeah, we were surrendered. You're ready to do whatever Prabhupada want. That's what made it different. If Prabhupada said, take sannyas and go somewhere, you know, do it. I mean, some people made it long term and some people didn't. Like, Prabhupada had to deputize people. Like in the old West, the United States.
Yeah.
If there was no sheriff, then you have a deputy sheriff. You know what a deputy sheriff is?
Yeah.
You've seen those Western movies.
Sure.
They just go up to any rally who says, well, do you know how to shoot a gun? Oh, yeah. I know how to shoot a gun. I tried it once. Okay, here you are, here's your badge, deputy sheriff. So that was the way Prabhupada empowered us. Yes, I was already sannyasi, regional secretary too, in South America. Even before Prabhupada left, I was in charge of one of the divisions of the BBT, the Spanish BBT.
Because I'm wondering, this is so dear to Prabhupada, he's preaching to scientists. So we have Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami was already almost PhD.
Yeah, he was almost PhD.
So that
he didn't. He wasn't just starting. He was almost PhD.
That would make a difference.
Yeah, whatever it is. I mean, I could have had a PhD probably. I think 2 years if I worked real hard at it. That's not too bad.
So
I was a no.
What do you think? What made him say? Even though it was a very...
Prabhupada knew it. Prabhupada knew my future. Prabhupada knew that, you know, I was going to be a sannyasi. I wasn't a sannyasi then. Prabhupada knew, you know, he's a sannyasi. If he becomes, you know, goes to university, then he'll become a professor, and then, you know, probably become a good rahasta or something like that. And then and he won't be... Prabhupada understood what was best for each disciple. You probably understood. Other people, Prabhupada encouraged to continue. Prabhupada encouraged that. But with me, it was just like, there's actually a letter in the database. I have to read it somewhere. Talk about it. What is the use of it? Prabhupada says, what is the use of it?
Letter to you.
Letter to the temple president who asked the question for me.
Oh.
Was it? I don't know, was it Rina Anamar or was that Sri Maharaj? I forget who it was who asked the question.
So you can see my future also, you know.
Yes, I see your future. I can see you're going to surrender. I'll give the crystal ball. I can see you're going
to
surrender.
There'll be
a lot of tears in the meantime. Crying. I see some crying.
Yes.
There's some crying and screaming, but ultimately, yes, you surrender.
Crying and screaming. That's easy to see. I'm already surrendered. Maybe not 100%, 99%.
But yes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Okay.
But he's most.
time to end class. Thank you very much for joining us.